The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Advent is from Micah chapter 5. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them until that time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 10. When Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law," then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter.
In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judea. She entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, we've made it now to the fourth Sunday in Advent, the fourth and final Advent Sunday. And so maybe you are, I don't know, I am a little bit, filled with great excitement, anticipation, for Christmas will be here very soon. 3 days, Christmas. 2 days, Christmas Eve. But this morning, it is still Advent. We pump the brakes one more time. One more time, we slow down just a little bit because we're not quite there yet. Soon, very soon, it is right around the corner, but there are a couple things that still need to happen before the church can celebrate the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So in this final Sunday in Advent, we hear of Mary, the mother of our Lord, visiting her cousin Elizabeth. Like us, both Mary and Elizabeth know that the first Christmas is coming. The first Christmas is right around the corner. It is coming very soon. They know this. The song, of course, asks, "Mary, did you know?" The answer is, yes, she knew.
The angel Gabriel told her, it's called the Annunciation, where Gabriel, the angel, literally announces to her the good news that Christ will be born, will develop in her womb as a little baby, and will be born for his people. We hear this every time we go at Christmas time. We hear this. We heard it last night with the Sunday school children, who did a wonderful job. But it's right, actually, the section right before Luke 1, right before our verses today in Luke chapter 1. The angel comes to Mary and says, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and is in the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing is impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." So yes, both Mary and Elizabeth knew that the first Christmas was coming very soon. Okay, so preparing to preach this Sunday, I couldn't help but notice there's a pretty significant theme running through our propers assigned for this fourth Sunday at Advent. Propers, that's just the parts of the liturgy that change from week to week. So like the introit, the collect of the day, and of course, our Bible readings. The first theme, as I was looking, I saw this theme. The first of it time I saw it was in the introit. The introit begins with the voice of Mary. "My soul magnifies the Lord," the Magnificat. Okay, it begins with the voice of Mary, but then it goes back to the Old Testament. It goes back to 1 Samuel chapter 2. And that actually, the Magnificat would be the song of Mary, but this section is actually the song of Hannah. The song of Hannah. And so Hannah, after she had been blessed by the Lord to give birth to a son, Samuel, has this response. Hannah was a dear and faithful woman in the Old Testament. She was married to a man named Elkanah, but Hannah appeared to be barren. And being barren in the Old Testament was actually thought to be a curse, because it meant that you were to be considered cut off from the line of the Messiah, or perhaps even the birth of the Messiah coming through you. And so it was a sad state that Hannah was in. So the last Sunday of Advent, we still here are remembering the saints of the Old Testament and just how great their anticipation was, their great excitement was for the coming of the Lord, for their Messiah to arrive. So Hannah prayed to the Lord for a son. And sure enough, the Lord answered her and gave her the gift of a son, the prophet Samuel. And when Hannah receives this wonderful blessing, this gift of a son, she rejoices with the song that we read in the introit. Like Mary's song, the Magnificat, heard in the gospel reading, which we're getting to, the prevailing theme of Hannah's song is that Hannah she felt very low, very poor, overlooked, insignificant even, and very much left out. But now, with the birth of a son, the Lord has lifted her up, has exalted her, and blessed her with the birth of Samuel. Then, in the collect of the day, we prayed that God would come, and that he might, with his might, that he would, because of the sins that weigh us down, we feel very low and poor and overlooked and insignificant, which we should feel that way due to our sins. We too feel that we are down and out, that we are lowly, that in the worst way, in the worst sense of that term, due to our sin. because sin separates us from God, and because we deserve to be banished from God's presence because of our sin. And by God's grace, we recognize this. We recognize this and we confess this. We confess with our mouths that we do deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment, to be banished, to be separated from our Lord. But we prayed that the Lord would come quickly and lift us up, raised from being so low. And of course, that means that the Lord must come to us. Okay? Emmanuel, God, has to come to us. The Lord comes to us with his power, with his might, that he could come and remove these sins, take them away from us, so that we would not be so weighed down and lowly because of them. Now let's look at the Old Testament reading, Micah chapter 5. About 700 years prior to Christ's birth, Bethlehem in that section in Micah is singled out. We just sang the song about, O little town of Bethlehem, right? O little town, it's a town too little to be named among the clans of Judah, a small, lowly, easily overlooked, seemingly insignificant town. And that's where God promised to raise up Bethlehem, that the Messiah would be born there. So now we hear, every year again, we hear of Bethlehem. We just sang every time around Christmas time, we sing, O little town of Bethlehem. This little, tiny, seemingly insignificant town of Bethlehem is exalted. It is raised up by God himself. Then we look at our gospel reading, Luke chapter 1. When Elizabeth hears the greeting of Mary, the baby in her womb, John the Baptist, that is, leapt for joy. And Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. But listen then to Elizabeth's response to that, and listen to what she says to Mary. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? So notice here what Elizabeth does. Great humility. And faith, she places herself right there along with Hannah, right there along with Mary, right there along with this little insignificant town of Bethlehem. Elizabeth realizes that there's no particular reason why she should be so honored that the mother of the Lord would come to her. Yet, one that is often insignificant or lowly is exalted and raised up by God. What an honor that the mother of the Lord would come to me. And of course, then we come to Mary. Mary, the mother of our Lord, realizes the same thing in great humility and faith. Mary understands full well what was happening. Remember, the angel Gabriel told her. She knows what is going on. God chose her. Mary, who is very much of lowly estate, a lowly virgin from an insignificant town in Nazareth, engaged to Joseph, a carpenter without an impressive resume or a great family income or heritage. So by all human understanding, all human standards, Mary was insignificant. Mary recognizes this. She confesses this. As we should. She knows that she has no claim whatsoever on any sort of greatness or fame or blessedness. But by God's grace and his mercy, God came to her and lifted her up and exalted her. Not because she was so mighty, but because the fruit of her womb, Christ, is mighty. Because God is mighty. And from now on, generations will call her blessed. Because God has done such wonderful things to her and through her. So yes, we do call Mary blessed, because God did. Of course, God doesn't make Mary or Elizabeth or you or me or this little town of Bethlehem
He doesn't make them great simply by fiat, simply by just giving them a token of his own greatness. No, he makes them great by his humiliation, by making himself lowly, poor, often overlooked, seemingly insignificant, ultimately to the point of the cross. God makes himself lowly to exalt those of lowly estate. For Jesus is none other, this babe in the womb of Mary, is none other than God himself, the Son of God. He came down from his heavenly throne. He makes himself lowly to take upon himself all of our sins and take them to the cross, as we said in the epistle, offering his body as the ultimate sacrifice for sins once and for all, in order to lift you up, in order to exalt you. Hannah, Bethlehem, Elizabeth, Mary, and each one of us lowly sinners, we are all lifted up purely by God's grace through faith in the Son of God, who was born of the lowly Virgin Mary, who made his way to the cross, rose from the dead. His perfect life, his perfect death in our stead as our substitute, his resurrection and ascension, his righteousness that gets credited to our account, makes us exalted. We are exalted on account of Christ. God has exalted you in the gift of his Son, Jesus. You have been, and you continue to be, lifted up in God's greatness. And you are lifted up, exalted in God's eyes, which is the only sight that truly matters. It is all because of Christ, dear saints. For God himself, he makes himself lowly to exalt those of lowly estate. That includes you, and that includes me. So I'd like to end today with Mary's Magnificat. I'm going to read that again, and you can catch this theme running through it. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things. He has done them. Great things for me. And holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has sown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away. He sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in the remembrance of his mercy, as he promised, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, to his offspring forever. As he's done for Mary, he has done for you, and he's done for me. He has exalted the lowly. Now you're ready for Christmas. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.